Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we discussed before, I have a number of issues with this. At this time, I would like to see all this in writing. I don't want to vote on any type of amendment to change this. I ask that you just resubmit it because it looks like we made some big changes to it instead of going line by line here tonight. I want the terminology right, and I want it right in front of me. So I'm not prepared to vote on any type of amendment to this legislation at this time. I believe you were originally going to hold it a month anyway, so that will give you time to meet with legal counsel to get this before us. So that's my position at this time. I appreciate you coming with additional information on this. I just would like to see it, written down in front so we know exactly what we're looking at. So at this time, I'm not comfortable making any votes on any type of amendment for this particular legislation, where I still have a number of concerns that I would like to discuss when we get the final legislation, or not the final, but the next version of the legislation you would like us to look at. Also, for the for having them come before us, I do agree. I think that's a good thing. It may be something that we could do on a special meeting to focus on that, since that's an in-depth issue. My fear is we keep having all these quarterly reports from this department, that department, this group, that group. That's what all the council meetings will end up being. So when it comes to that, maybe we can look to do a special night that we could just talk about this, an annual meeting that we just talk about this and have them come before, so the people that are really concerned about that can take their time and debate that. So that's just one of the things to throw out there. But at this time, that's just my position here on this. I'd like to see exactly what we're looking at, what the legislation will say. So that's my position. Thank you.
Yeah, fair enough, Councilman. I think that there's some good recommendations there. I like the idea of the special meeting. But I also do not want to just keep kicking this can down the road one meeting after another. So why don't you just give me your other proposed changes to this right now so that I can look at those in drafting up something to come to the next meeting? Or are your only concerns the ones that I've already addressed?
I have concerns about the process of this, and I'm not ready to even agree upon that. I think this is the right path to go on. So this is your legislation that you're bringing forward. So I'd like to see you work it out, and so I know exactly what you're thinking, and that could help. I think we should just hold this at this time. I'm not ready to move on this at all. I'm not ready to debate it. I just think that I think it's in the best case that we hold at this time.
Okay, so you don't want to discuss this now on the record, what other concerns or changes you would like to at least see added in here for discussion? You said the process. You have a problem with the process. What's the problem with the process?
I have no problem with the process, but this is your legislation that you are putting forward. So if I'm all of a sudden adding what I think should be in there and this one is in there, it's going to look like that we're going down a path. I'm not ready to go down any path right now. I need to know exactly what this legislation would call for, and then I will be able to break that down and come up and decide if that's something I'm going to support, something that I might want to change, something that I want to do. But right now, there are so many different things in here. We're moving some sections out of it. We're adding that. There's still some questions on the charter. I just don't think at this time I am ready to make any type of vote on this particular legislation.
Okay. Councilman Howell, you have any comments, questions?
I would agree with what the Councilman McAllister said, simply because, Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely right. This is people's future. This is something that is they are paying into that they're benefits that they've earned and benefits that they've negotiated for, and there should be a return. So I think it's something, it's a great conversation to have, and but it's something that we want to see the writing in, and we got to make sure that it's done right. If we're going to do anything and go into this this board, we want to make sure it's done right. And so therefore it's done accurately. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Thank you. And thank you both for your comments. Keep in mind that this ordinance is not making any substantive changes at all. It's not changing contributions. It's not changing who, why, or how. All it's doing is it's increasing transparency, and it's asking for an annual report, and it's assigning a housekeeping change to how four members are going to be appointed. But that's fine. I have no problem holding it. I will work with our council solicitor to come up with some changes in writing, so you'll have them in advance. Any questions from members of the council?
Yes.
Councilman Sinapi.
Most of what you're saying appear, well, actually I can verify. Can people hear me?
Barely.
How about now?
Good.
Got it. Most of what you've talked about does sound like an issue with people being able to get before the pension board, or at least have their questions heard. I'm not on the board, obviously, you would know. One suggestion I might have, though, is most, if not all, of what you seek could be resolved simply either by A, changing the meeting times, which I'm sure you've probably broached before, so I'm not going to belabor it, or at least B, just allowing people to submit questions in writing at a minimum, because you do want people to be able to ask questions there. I think it's important that they ask questions there. And I kind of, when I think about this whole thing, I think about the sewer authority. Like, we people, including myself, yourself, and many others, go to those meetings when they want to ask questions. And I like that. It makes sense. You have an entity that are in charge of it. You have all the people who are experts on the matter, and they have their staff there ready to go, as opposed to dragging them in to the council meeting, asking them to figure out things that they don't necessarily have the staff or the members there to be able to answer. It never works out well. And I don't picture this going any better with the pension board, especially with that's how you bog down government more than it already is. I mean, government's already overly bureaucratic. It's not helpful to add more to that, because your efforts to make it transparent, even if they're fulfilled, you'll slow down the process so much that you start to gob up what we're trying to do in the first place. I mean, it makes sense to make it more transparent. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's other ways, more simple ways of doing it. And I think most, if not all of them, can be done directly through the board. It does sound like you guys need some more flexibility on time, though, that's for sure. But I'm not on it. I can't dictate that.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions or concerns, comments from members of the public?
Yes, we do.
We have one with their hand raised.
Yes, sir.
Could you bring him in? Chris, sorry, Phil. Yes.
Yep.
Do we have him?
We should.
Yes, my name is Roger Duran.
Yes, Roger. Go ahead.
How are you?
Good, how are you? How are you? Good.
Very good. I've been listening to this. I was really tuned in with reference to sewers, but I didn't even know this was coming up tonight. But one of the points I want to make, Ed, you refer to, and the three councilmen referred to, the city workers and their pension plan. So let me ask a question, not of you, Ed. Let me ask of the two people on the Finance Committee. What percentage of pension plans, on average, do the taxpayers subsidize? I'm not talking the employee, because that's what the discussion's been about tonight. What percentage is me as a taxpayer? What percentage do we pay for the retirees? And as they say, not for you, Ed, you're on a retirement board. The other two people on the Finance Committee, maybe they can answer it. They voted for all three contracts, so they must know what percentage we, the taxpayers, subsidize the pension plans.
Roger, go ahead, Councilman McAllister, go ahead.
Just going to say through the chair, do we have any questions regarding this piece of legislation that we're discussing right now, PCO 7-19?
It's a pension plan. So it is regarding this particular PCO. This is the pension plan. And we talked about what the employees are contributing. The one person or the group that was left out are the taxpayers. So I want to know, we're contributing to this. What is our percentage of contribution? You voted for three contracts. You must know.
Mr. Chairman?
Roger, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
No, I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I know that the question was directed at the two other members of the committee. And I will say, looking at this order, this your legislation as it's written, that is not addressed in this legislation. So again, I would like to reiterate what Councilman McAllister stated, that I would like to stick to the item at hand. Thank you.
Roger, Roger, hold on. I just want to back up a bit because I did talk about the taxpayers at the last meeting, and I already mentioned that this evening because that is precisely what I'm talking about, is the four members who are not employees of the city.
Yeah, I understand that. And let's move it along. The point is, and obviously I'm going to make a supposition, the other two people didn't know it, the other two councilmen didn't know it, but the taxpayers are paying 2/3 on average of the retirement. 2/3. So I think we should have a seat at the table. And I think, considering how much we're underfunded on our pension plans, everyone on the city council should know that. You're voting on the contract, it's the basic. So that's point number one. Number two, we talk about attending the meetings. Well, I did attend the meeting. And that was the meeting the taxpayers, the review board got the open meeting violation because we as three taxpayers had the audacity to ask what our rate of return was. We were told that was an inappropriate question, and that's why there was an open meeting violation. So I don't want to hear about you go over there at a special time and ask questions because that's a fallacy. You can't ask questions at all. So let's stop that particular statement. Now let's go to point number three.
Roger, before you go to point number three, I just want to make known for the record that I was not a member of the pension board at that time.
Absolutely correct, Ed. You were not. Next point. One of the things I would recommend for you, Ed, to incorporate in this particular legislation is at the end of the quarter, the results should be published on the city website the following month. I have done numerous Freedom of Information requests, and you'd be shocked with the answers I get. That's a public document. We, the taxpayers, are subsidizing the most on these pension plans. So that particular information from fiduciary investments, and that's the gentleman you're referring to, should be published on the city website the month following the quarter. Now, let's go to point number
four. Roger, I'll comment on that before you go to point four. That has been suggested. It was mentioned in a version of what you said at the last meeting, and it was also echoed by one other member of the administration. I'm not going to quote the person because I can't swear to which one it was, but that has been suggested that reports be sent out, something that is understandable to all of us, a report that we don't need to be a CPA to interpret. So that is that has been, to the credit of my colleagues, that has been suggested, and we will consider. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's only basically all you get these statements from Fidelity every quarter. It gives you the year-to-date return to 1-3-5. That's not difficult. Mm-hmm. Right. That's published information. They get it all the time. Just put it up on the city website. Next thing. Let's go to point number four. I totally agree with you, Ed. It should be a month every quarter they should report to the city council. Obviously, there's certain city councilors who are opposing this. They can use all kinds of subterfuge, but they don't want to hear it. It's probably the most important quarterly report we get because of the millions of dollars it's costing us. Let me repeat that. It's probably the most important quarterly report that the city council should get. And I am shocked any city councilor is opposed to it. Now, the next point is, I'm not going to even bother to ask them who our actuarial is, because they probably have no idea. You do, Ed, but they don't. Steve Marola does, but the rest of the council doesn't. Hawley does. I'm sorry, Rick Hawley does. But fiduciary investments, I assume, Ed, that's still the people we do who invest our money. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. They're out of Connecticut. They're out of Connecticut. It's not like we're flying them in from Texas. Even if it costs $500 for the night, who cares?
Roger, they've already agreed to attend at least on an annual basis at no charge.
Yeah, but on an annual basis, a lot could happen. Look what happened in the market today. I would think the city council would be wanting to get this addressed. This is one of your biggest expenses. By the way, Ed, let me ask you a question. What's our unfunded liabilities right now? $300 million for pensions? I have no idea. It's in that range.
Yeah, it's in there.
So we're talking tonight about $1,000 here, $1,000 here. It's chump change. Let's talk about the real issue, the elephant in the room. It's pensions and health care. So
okay,
anyhow,
Roger, listen,
I'm not going
to
belabor the point.
Okay.
I know. I'm not going there. I'll wait till we get to health care. But the reality of the situation is this is one of the most important issues we have confronting the city. How are we going to fund this? So discount this. We'll do it once a year. I don't want to tie up the council. I don't want to do this. This should be a priority for the taxpayers as well as the retirees. And I don't understand what the hesitation is. But thank you, Ed, for your time. Thank you for introducing this. It's long overdue. Let's pull back the curtain, Ed. So thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to hold until October 5th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold until October 5th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Item number four, PCO 17-19, an ordinance relative to senior and veteran exemptions. Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister, you're the next two co-sponsors. We've been holding this for quite some time. I know COVID has really put a hindrance on getting any of these things done. Would you like to hold this until the second meeting in October? Does that work for you?
I think that's very fair, and you hit the nail on the head, Mr. Chairman. COVID has just held everything up. As of course, it starts, you know, from the top on down. So absolutely. Second meeting in October is good for me.
Okay. All right. Let's really do our best. I'm sure, you know, you all are getting calls from the seniors and the veterans as well on this item. And, you know, we just got to decide that COVID is not going to continue to slow things down and create turmoil for us. We're going to just start hitting these things head on. So I'll make a motion to hold until October 19th. May I have a second?
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. An ordinance, thank you. An ordinance relative to employee benefits. I'm going to hold that also until October 19th. Making a motion to do that.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item, PCO 29-19, an ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. Councilman Sinapi.
Hold to the next meeting, please.
Hold till October 5th at the request of the sponsor. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCO 7-20, an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Article 1 of the City Code of Ordinances. Okay. On that particular item, this is going to have the director of DPW appear before the city council, and I'm going to make an amendment on the time frame and provide the city council with a report regarding street paving, corresponding list of streets, et cetera, et cetera. There is a companion to this. It's kind of like a duplicate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold this particular item until October 5th.
Seconded.
Move on to the other one next. So we have a motion to hold till October 5th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. An ordinance relative to the ratification of teacher contracts and support of personnel contracts. I will make a motion to withdraw.
Seconded.
We have a motion to withdraw. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 11-20, a resolution relative to repairs to damage to Lippitt Park. So I'm going to be asking for favorable action on that. I know it was spoken to at the last meeting that there was pictures of the damage being repaired. Well, I have pictures that night of the damage not repaired, and I have fully repaired, and I have pictures from about 8:30 this morning, 8 o'clock this morning, with the same two items not repaired. I have also requested a list of the insurance adjuster's report for the damage to that property and have not received it. I believe the insurance award or settlement for the damage to that property was somewhere in the vicinity of around $4,600 or so. I have not been able to get my hands on that again. I did have it months ago, but I cannot locate it. So what I am requesting is that for the damage to Lippitt Park and the condition of that park be brought back to the condition that it was in before this vehicle came crashing through. They have replaced one 8x8 stanchion, wood stanchion. They have replaced two of the bicycle racks. There is another 8x8 stanchion that was damaged and is damaged. And there's also damage to the asphalt, where the asphalt is actually sticking up from the road close to about 2 inches. And that's all I'm asking. This isn't like the end of the world. I'm not asking to rebuild Lippitt Park. I'm not asking to rebuild the public access area. I'm asking to have the damaged 8x8 replaced, and I'm asking to have the asphalt in that location replaced. My constituents are very concerned, they're very upset that that has not been taken care of. And I see them down there quite often, because I'm down there quite often. And that's it. It's as simple as that. That's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for the remainder of the damage to be replaced. A simple 8x8 stanchion and repair the asphalt. That's it. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, but the city has been, the DPW has been fixing it. They've fixed a number of things so far, so they haven't ignored it, correct?
No. Wait a minute, let's not twist it. So this has been going on for a very, very long time, Councilman McAllister. And I would point out to you, again, this is Ward 5. It's not Ward 7.
I'm just asking the question.
And I'm gonna answer your question. Okay. This has been going on for a very long time. Very long time. This isn't something that's been going on for a couple of weeks. It's been going on and on and on and on. And yes, the bicycle racks had to be ordered, and that took time to get in. I get it. I understand it. And that was taken care of months and months ago. I have sent numerous pitches, numerous emails, numerous text messages requesting that the rest of this damage be replaced. And it has been ignored. It has not been done. Any other questions from members of the committee?
I still have some questions.
Councilman McAllister, you have some more? Okay.
Yes. So I'm just reading the legislation, and it just says that the vehicle damage and has yet to complete necessary repairs. I just want to make sure they are repairing. They are doing repairs, though, correct?
The city. They replaced an 8x8 and they installed the two bicycle racks. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what's been done, Councilman McAllister. I'm talking about what has not been done, what has not been replied to, the emails that I'm not getting replied to, and the action that's not getting taken care of. That's what I'm talking about. I talked about it for months. It wasn't getting done. I had no other option but to put this particular resolution into place because it was being ignored and is being ignored. I just want it fixed. Fix the 8x8. Replace the 8x8 as you would want to have in your ward, and fix the asphalt as you would want to have in your ward. That's fine. I'm happy. My constituents are happy.
I understand that. I'm just looking at the legislation because it makes it seem like there was nothing to be done. So that's good. It's on the record that stuff has been done, but additional things need to be completed. Correct?
It's not additional. It's the original. There's a difference. If we're going to play semantics with, you know, what's been done and what's not been done, then let's make sure the wording is right. This isn't additional, like somebody else came in and crashed into this 8x8. This is something that is still there from the original accident.
Okay. So they're working on it, but they have not completed from the original request.
They have not been working on it for months. For months, I've been ignored. Those repairs have been ignored. You can try to present it in any way that this isn't some project that's going to take months or days or no, this is something that's going to take a few hours. Get in a truck, get a couple of people over there, pull out the 8x8, put a new 8x8 in, and patch the asphalt. We're not talking about something that's taking weeks or months or years. We're talking about something that's going to take hours, a very few minimal hours. So this isn't anything that's ongoing. It's not like we're building a house here and, oh, it's going to take time. We got to wait for this. We got to wait for that. No. Everybody's done waiting. My constituents are very upset. They're very upset that this has been going on for months and months. It's gone through the entire summer. It went through some portions of the spring. And here we are going into fall, and it hasn't been taken care of. To the point that I have got to bring this to the council floor in a resolution to get the attention to it so it can be done. I'm simply asking for those two items to be done.
Okay,
that's what
thanks.
My constituents deserve. That's what you would deserve, and that's what you would expect.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Again, I want to make clear, I think I understood exactly what the last Councilman McAllister was asking. No one's questioning. We understand it's your ward, and you're going to advocate to the, as you always have, for your constituents. The thing that the stumbling block for me, and I'm wondering if there's, I see the chief of staff is on. What I think Councilman McAllister mentioned, which I agree with, is that the work was began. And I understand what you're saying, but there's been a delay on everything in the city. And that's my disconnect on what you're saying, where they started on it. And it seems to be like when like ordering things, and I think even homeowners and you as a business in this profession, Mr. Chairman, can respect and understand the delays and priority of the minimal resources we get in. So I'd be interested to hear what the chief has to say or a representative. And then, you know, no one's disregarding what you're saying, what you're doing for your ward, Mr. Chairman. I'm certainly not, but I definitely understand what Councilman McAllister is saying and asking.
So this accident that we're talking about, no, there's no delays because of COVID, because 1 8x8 was repaired. So if you bring in 1 8x8, you should have brought in the other 8x8. There's plenty of asphalt going down as we speak. So it's not like we got a shortage of asphalt or we have a shortage of anyone dropping asphalt. There's plenty of that going on. So I think that argument that, well, there's a shortage of materials. No, there is no shortage of materials for that. It should have been done when the first one was done. And there's plenty of asphalt repairs going on now in various parts of the city. So there is asphalt available to take care of that particular repair. We're not talking about a baseball field here. We're talking about maybe 8 to 10 square feet. That's what we're talking about.
I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other?
I have questions.
Councilwoman Donna Travis. Councilwoman Travis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I know you send a lot of emails out. Did you get any answers or replies back to the fact that why did they put 1 8x8 up and not the second one?
No.
Then you got no answers at all on that?
No.
That just seems impossible. If you got two boards broken, why would you only repair one? And you didn't hear nothing else about the asphalt either?
No.
I've sent pictures.
I've sent emails.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howell. I'm sorry. Councilman Sinapi.
I'll take the compliment. Question. When you have a moment, can you send me your pictures? Because I'm looking at mine and I'm honestly confused because one, the asphalt, I'm confused for a few reasons on the asphalt. One, I don't understand how a car caused the asphalt to raise, although I'm sure it's possible. But based on the pictures, all I see is like a patching that happened probably from utilities from the looks of it. And then at the edge there, there's another line right where the stanchions are. But there's also some spray paint down suggesting to me that there's going to be further things done over there.
The spray paint, that's because of DigSafe. So before they could replace that one 8x8, they had to contact DigSafe. Water had to be marked. Gas had to be inspected. But I'll tell you what, Councilman Sinapi, seeing as you're quite concerned about what's going on in my ward, I'd be happy to meet you there tomorrow morning at 7:30, and I'll show you exactly what it is that I'm talking about. That's better than the picture. You can see it firsthand.
How about we do both? But in the meantime, as far as the stanchions, so I'm looking at the stanchions. Can you please tell me which one is not
I have no idea which way you're looking at them, but if you're looking from the street towards the water, it's the stanchion on the far left. That stanchion was damaged in the accident and hasn't been replaced.
It looks like a tall piece of wood. Where's the damage?
It's on the east side of the stanchion. So you're looking at four corners. It's on the right corner.
All right. I see the fact that it has like a gash in it on the side, like somebody scraped it with something.
Yeah, like a car.
So you're saying that the superficial damage is a problem?
Yeah, you can call it superficial. My constituents call it damage to an area that they take a lot of pride in, that they spend a lot of time in maintaining and cleaning, et cetera, et cetera. And they want it fixed. They want it put back to where it was before the damage occurred. And simple. The insurance company paid to have this repairs done. Okay?
I understand what you're saying now. All right. Okay. So you want that one to be just like the one next to it? And I remember when this first came up a while back, and it's actually referenced in your legislation. This was a safety issue, but
yeah,
based on the pictures and based on the fact that I'm assuming the reason you stopped mentioning the safety issue is because the repairs that were made addressed the safety issue.
That were made addressed the safety issues where the bike racks were simply bent up steel that had not been removed. And were there. That has been taken care of. That part has been corrected. If you heard my comment earlier tonight, I said that the asphalt that is picking up about 2 inches, creates a tripping hazard.
And you said you had the, at least at one point, the like the itemized thing from the insurance carrier about what they're reimbursing for.
I never said I had the itemized.
I misunderstood you then. I'm sorry.
I asked for it. I said right. I requested it.
And I heard that part. And then I thought you said you had it in hand at one point, but then no longer do.
No, I said I had been sent a copy of the check the insurance company paid the city.
Got it.
And I cannot locate that copy.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
That's why I asked for it again.
I mean, my own two cents, and again, it's your award. The fact that the stanchion wasn't replaced seems rather moot, given its quality. And obviously, based on the pictures, I can't really confess much regarding the asphalt, though I am still confused how a vehicle somehow caused it to raise up 2 inches. I'm no engineer or an accident recreation person.
I'll be happy to explain it to you if you want to meet on site.
But without hearing the other side of this story, I wouldn't really want to vote on anything because a one-sided story is no good at all. But my own two cents.
Okay, thank you. My constituents will certainly have the final answer. Any other comments from members of the council? Do we have any comments from members of the public?
Yes, we have one.
One hand raised. Phil? Yes, who is the one hand that's raised?
Hi, Ed. My name is Gail Dussault. I live on Katy Avenue.
Hi, Gail.
And we all love Lippitt Park. And the repairs are, like you say, not perfect. But what I'm concerned about is the seawall, which is deteriorating and falling apart. And the stones are coming apart there, and people walk on that seawall and they can fall and hurt themselves. And that would be my biggest concern about Lippitt Park. I just wanted to throw that out. Thank you.
Gail, thank you for that. I'd like you to call me on that tomorrow. There has been a couple of other of your neighbors who have expressed that same ongoing concern. I need to speak with all of you again, get the details of that concern, get the details of the requests that have been made or not been made to get that remedied. And I will stop moving forward with that as well.
Ed, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes. Seeing you and Councilman Sinapi are going down there tomorrow, perhaps you could take a look at that seawall and please do be careful.
Okay, well, I can't speak for Councilman Sinapi. He didn't agree to meet at 7:30. I can meet, you know, anytime. It doesn't have to be 7:30. That's fine. But, you know, I'll leave that up to Councilman Sinapi. We can work out an amenable time later if he so chooses to come down to see what's happening in my ward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. And please give me a call tomorrow. I will reach out to someone else in that regard also.
Will do.
Any other comments from members of the public? We have any comments from members of... Do we have any other comments from members of the public? Councilman Sinapi?
So we've talked about this before, the fact that this is an issue, this is a kind of issue normally dealt with. We deal with it privately as far as we contact DPW, et cetera. Each person has their own way of handling it in their ward, and that's all well and good. I have a pretty strong concern that starting to handle these things via resolution to the full council, now everything has to go to the full council. And then now I can have constituents rightfully turn to me and say, hey, why didn't you put my issue as a resolution? Regardless of the nature of it, safety hazard, et cetera, doesn't matter. They could rightfully say, well, he did it for his people. Why aren't you doing it for me? And it's a good point on their part. So why are we not just putting all of our stuff via resolution if we start doing it like now? It seems like a very bad precedent to set.
That's okay. Councilman, you know, you can choose to do that if you want. You can represent your constituents the best way you feel is needed. And I'll represent my constituents the best way I feel is needed. When I have a collection of emails requesting things to be done and then not done, my last resort is to bring them here on a resolution. And if that is troubling to some folks, sorry, but If I can't get them resolved and I can't get answers to the emails and I can't get the repairs made, then we're going to be bringing them right back. So once again, I will represent my constituents and fight for them the best way I know how. And you are welcome to do that for your constituents.
So you preference is for all of us to bring all of our things before the council?
That's not my preference, Councilman Sinapi.
Just for yourself.
You can do whatever you please in representing your constituents. You represent your constituents any way you want. I'm not going to suggest or tell you or even begin to describe how you should represent your constituents. You do whatever you feel is in the best interest of your constituents. I'm going to do whatever I feel is in the best interest of my constituents. That's what I've been doing, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Anything further?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions from members of the council? Hearing none, I will make a motion for favorable action on PCR 11-20.
I will second that, Mr. Chairman, with a comment.
Thank you, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead.
I'm glad that this is getting done. I'm glad that we had some clarifications. That's what I was trying to do. I was just trying to clarify that the city has been addressing this. And then you were meeting with your constituents. You're advocating for them to complete the job. You're not asking for additional things. I understand that. But I'm just glad that it's on the record that the city has done a number of things to address this. And you're just looking for it to be completed. That's all. This is a ward issue. You're advocating for your constituents, as you said. And I think the administration has been advocating for their constituents as well. And that's why they started to address this. And I look forward, and I'm sure you do, to this being completed. So I will second this. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. PCR 29-20. Resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $10 million general obligation bond notes and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, furnishing, and equipping of athletic and or recreational fields and facilities for the city's high school subject to approval of state housing aid at a reimbursement rate of state share ratios of not less than 35% at the time of issuance, and provided that the authorization shall be reduced by the amount of certain grants received from the state bond proceeds from the Rhode Island Department of Education or from the Rhode Island School Building Authority. Councilman Sinapi.
Hold at the request of the school department.
Hold till when, Councilman?
Sorry, good point. Next meeting, please.
Hold till October 5th. I need a motion at the request of the sponsor.
Motion to hold to October 5th.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next item, PCR 41A20, resolution addressing fiscal request for education for fiscal year 2020 through 2021. Councilman Sinapi.
Not same drafted. Thing, please.
Sorry?
Same thing, please.
Hold till, is the same thing October 5th?
Yes, please.
Okay. I need a motion at the request of the sponsor to hold till October 5th.
Motion to hold October 5th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 53-20, 2021-062, police educational expenses.
Police department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to expend funds for college expenses for on an as-needed basis from various vendors not to exceed $80,000 for police officers for fiscal year 2021. Again, this expense is statutory. Rhode Island General Law 42-28.1-5. State law provides for the reimbursement of educational expenses to include tuition, books, and supplies. This authorization would cover the department through June 30th, 2021, and would come from the department's operating budget 30-301.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any comments, questions from Members of the public. Any questions from members of the public?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I meant to make a statement on this.
Sure, go ahead, Councilman Hyde.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to verify no one from the public was in line to speak.
No, sir.
Go ahead. I'll go back.
I want to thank the major, the chief, and I want to specifically thank the police officers. This was something that was, you know, lost in the logistical cloud quite a few meetings ago. And Mr. Chairman, I know that you worked diligently to try to move it up. And then the last meeting, as you know, we ran into a Zoom issue. And now this meeting, this is the reimbursement for required classes that the officers need. And there's been a lot of work on both the patrol side and the administrative side in making sure that this works out, including these delays. So I want to commend the department, as every department does, but this department on this issue for being patient and understanding the challenges we're facing in these uncertain times. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Another successful endeavor, obviously. Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions or comments from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 77-20, 2018-247, Neptune cold water meters.
Thank you, Chairman. The water division is requesting an additional $50,000 from bid 2018-247, which expires March 26, 2021.
Terry, we can't hear you again. You need to get closer to the mic or something. We can't hear you.
Is that better, Chairman?
It is. Thank you.
Okay. The water division is requesting an additional $50,000 from bid 2018-247. Additional $50,000, which expires March 26, 2021, for cold water.
Can everybody hear the director, because he's coming in and out on my end? Can everybody hear him? Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Do you have any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, PCR 81-20. Resolution in regards to Bayside Sewer Project. Water Sewer Authority and the City to sign and issue the contract to D'Amber Construction without further delay. You have all heard me comment quite extensively at the last meeting, and I am at this moment going to ask if there's any questions from members of the committee. Are there any questions from members of the council? I'm going to take questions and comments from members of the public, and I have three hands up. Chris, are you the one that's signing these folks in?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be doing this.
I confuse your voice with Phil's. I'm sorry.
Okay. that's quite all right.
Yeah, please bring up the first individual, please.
Sure. Michelle McMahon, you're allowed to talk. Feel free to unmute your microphone when you're ready.
Hi, this is Michelle McMahon. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I live on Linden Avenue, and I'm calling to express my opposition again to the sewer project in Bayside. It is socially unjust to have a sewer project force me and many others out of our homes. It is unconscionable to put this heavy financial burden on us, who are mostly low to middle income residents. No one has gone around to any of the neighborhoods and given out any correct information as to how much this will cost. There is no bottom line, and why should we sign something when there is no bottom line? Nobody wants these. Everyone I've talked to, they do not want them. Everybody that I've spoken to has been outraged at this project, trying to push it through, especially during this COVID pandemic, when there are 48 million jobs that have been lost, and many of them will not come back. This project is also going to devalue the price of my home. And I know the argument is that it will bring up the value of my home, but it won't. And that is because once your shovel hits the ground, I'm on the hook for the entire $30,000 or $40,000, whether I stay in my house or whether I sell my house. If I choose to stay, I have to pay for that entire bill. If I choose to leave, I have to lower the price of my house from market value to continue to pay for those sewers for the next homeowner. Why should I have to leave that amount of money on the table? Why shouldn't I get fair market value out of my home that I've worked hard for and maintained? That amount of money is going to change the rest of my life. It's going to decide if I can buy another house. It's going to decide when and if I can retire. And I don't know about anybody else, but leaving that amount of money on the table is unheard of, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think many people have thought of that yet, but they will. And what about the retired people that are on fixed incomes and the elderly? What about young families or single families, single parents? Are they supposed to choose between putting away their hard-earned money for their child's education or pay their monthly sewer loan? There are many families out there who can't even buy food for the families. But now you want to add another bill to them, and not just for a few years. No, this is for 20 or 30 years. Some people won't even be alive by the time their sewer bill is paid off. And that will leave the burden to their families and their children, who probably won't be able to afford it either. This is unethical, and it's morally despicable to drop this bomb onto people for such a financial mess. And you're trying to do it without telling people the truth. No facts, no choices, no help, nothing. The decision is being made by a chosen few who want the sewers. And the heck with everyone else. Without a bottom line, how can you ask anybody to do this? It's not fair. And everyone that I have spoken to is not interested in having it. And D'Ambra has never done directional drilling before. And that means they have to sub it out, which is probably going to cost more. There's going to be more cost overruns. D'Ambra has never come in on time or on budget on any sewer project that they've ever done. Our infrastructure is tedious at best. What happens if it gets damaged during this project? Who's going to fix that? Who's going to have to pay for that? We are. That's going to be an added overrun on our bill, on our end. And Earl Bond, the interim director, stated in the Beacon on September 3rd that directional drilling causes an inherent risk. He also stated that it's up to $25,000 to $27,000 at this point just for the assessment. That doesn't include the e-grinders that we have to purchase, which is probably about $6,000. That doesn't include the dedicated fuse box that we have to put in our home. That doesn't pay consider repairs if it breaks down. And what about if we have a power outage? Well, we can't flush our toilet. And who knows how long it will take for someone to show up to fix it. Yeah, there is a battery backup, but what if the batteries fail too? How long does the batteries last? How much is the replacement? Where do you buy one? How about actually hooking up? Another cost to the homeowner could be up to $10,000 per homeowner. And then what about the cost of decommissioning your cesspool? That's approximately $2,500 to $3,000. And I ask you, do not make this decision lightly. You are affecting many, many lives with this project. for the betterment of a few homeowners. This city should be responsible to figure out what those people need to do to get a septic in their yard, not us. It is not our responsibility. And I feel that you do not have the best interests of all of your constituents with this plan. I understand you have spent countless hours on this project, but I believe you need to let it go and you need to find something else for the people. Because after 8 years of telling everybody that everybody wants the sewers, we have proved in a few short weeks that that is not true. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Michelle. Chris, next individual.
Mark Genest, you are allowed to talk. Please unmute your microphone and speak when you're ready.
Mark, can you hear us? Mark, are you still there? Mark, are you still there? Chris, let's move on to the next one and we'll come back to Mark.
Sure. Caller with number ending in 7934, please unmute and speak when you're ready.
Caller on 965-7934, are you there?
Hello.
Go ahead, we got you. State your name for the record, Hello? Please. Yes, state your name Hi. For the record, please.
Yes, Councilman Latticeau, this is Rob Cody calling. Good evening.
Hi,
I hope
Rob.
You are well.
Good.
Councilman, I know you've worked really hard on this. I had some questions at the last meeting, unfortunately. We have to ask these questions again, and I know that's a chore, but thank you for taking the time doing that. So my concern at the last meeting, I asked you if you could point me to the section in the project specification, or if you had the familiarity of the section which addresses the commodities escalation clauses. And I'm going to ask you that question again tonight. Have you familiarized yourself with the commodities escalation clause of the contract? And if so, could you point me to where it is?
I have received that copy of that contract, Mr. Cody. We're in the process of reviewing that. I do not have an answer to your question at this time.
Okay. So as of right now, can you confirm or deny whether or not there is a commodities escalation clause? Not in the contract. Remember, there's two parts to this project. There's a contract, and then there's a project specification. There's two totally different documents. The addendum for the commodities escalation clause, if there is one, will be in the project specification, not in the contract. So can you tell me if you have reviewed the project specification and if, in fact, there is a clause for commodities escalation?
No, I can't comment on that right now until I have the definitive information to answer that question.
Okay. So because in fact that you do not know the answer to that, you cannot ethically move forward with this proposal for these sewers, because you not knowing that shows that you have no idea what the cost will be of this project. And let me give you particular examples. And I'm not saying this to demean your knowledge of the contract, but because I deal with these every day, let me just give you some examples. For example, in the last 60 days, the commodities escalation costs for lumber have gone up 170%. Now, we are in an election year. And election years have a lot to do with commodities escalation, depending on who gets elected, depending what we're going to do with fossil fuels, with petrochemicals, right? There's a big money at stake, a big dollar at stake, Councilman. And let me give you another. Typically, you have two scenarios when it comes to commodities escalation. And, you know, and I would ask you to look at this very closely, because moving forward without the knowledge of the commodities escalation clause and the specifics is a complete injustice to your constituents and to the city of Warwick. And here's why. typically in contracts such as this, when you look at the project specification, you'll have one of two types of commodities escalation. One will be written by one maker of the contract, who is the owner, which is the city, which is the taxpayer, which will say, any escalation of commodities as of the signing of this contract is borne to the contractor. So if the contractor bids $17.8 million and fossil fuels go up 200%, that contractor eats that cost. It does not get borne back to the owner, which in this case, ultimately, is the taxpayer in the city of Warwick. That's one form of the commodities escalation. The other side of the commodities escalation is made by the other maker of the contract, which is the contractor, right? Or in the subcontractors, which will have a clause that states any escalation in commodities will be borne back to the owner. So the city pays for it, which means the taxpayers pay for it. So we don't know what the price of asphalt is going to be by the time you break ground. And if you don't know what the liability is, because what this ultimately comes down to is the financial liability to the taxpayer. So the most important part and most important clause in this project specification is commodities escalation. And if you don't know the answer to that, you cannot move forward with this project because you don't know what cost you're going to be putting on the taxpayer. All right. We've seen commodities go up and go down. All right. We know in the Obama years we had fuel at $4.54 a gallon. Right. And by the way, in the last project that was done on the Social Drive, Morning Glory, Crane Street and Haven Street, guess what? There was no commodities escalation clause that protected the taxpayer. So guess who owned that? The taxpayers own that. So they came in at one number. Hey, it's $16 million. But however, and you know this, Mr. Lattisaw, because you've been in construction a long time, such as I, you come in on the low bid and then you can increase the cost of that project by commodities escalation, cost overruns, things such as, well, we didn't know that we had this piece of pipe that was buried here. It wasn't on the contract drawings, so we have to go back for an extra, all right? These are things that you clearly do not know as of today, right? So the commodities escalation clause in a project like this can be millions of dollars, not hundreds, not thousands or tens of thousands. It can be millions of dollars. So my question to you is, or my advice to you is, before you think about putting this on the backs of the taxpayers, you need to sharpen your pencil and you need to go through the project specification. And what I'm asking for right now on the record is that I need you to respond to me what section in the project specification addresses the commodities escalation clause and who is it written to benefit, the contractor or the taxpayer? And I would like you to get back to me before you move this project forward, because this is a defect. If you don't know the answer to that question, this contract is defective and this project will be defective and you will not be able to definitively bear out what the cost will be to the taxpayer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cody. Chris, the next individual, Mark has his hand up again. Let's go back to Mark.